From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
Houston Browdy, I am Marjorie Egan. This is Boston Public Radio, WGBH 89.7. Hello, Jim.
You know what else this is, Marjorie? Snowmageddon. That's what it is.
I would call it snowpocalypse, or maybe snowpalooza. There's a lot of snow. Let's
How
put
about
it that way.
Snow fun anymore? And it really is.
Oh, I like that.
Thank you. I just made that up. You heard a couple of minutes ago, GBH crews are going to be out all day updating you on the impact in Greater Boston, which may hit 2 feet, which is really unbelievable. And then on All Things Considered, the great Philip Martin has this piece called Fed Up. And who isn't? Speaking of fed up.
Yeah.
You're feeling bad about the snow. You're feeling even worse if you have an outage. Well, you want to feel even worse. Read the Globe today. Here it is. Tom May, formerly head of NSTAR. I've got to calm myself down.
Uh-huh.
Nicknamed the $9 million man by the Globe's Brian McGorry when he was a mere columnist before he was editor, is now the who knows how many million dollar man. Do you want to explain the story from the Globe today, please?
Yeah, and you should be especially happy about this if you do not have electricity today, because this is the guy that's running NSTAR. Okay, May, that's Tom May, the $9 million man who could by now be the $10 or $11 million man. To quote the Globe, he led NSTAR until early April when the Boston Utility merged with Northeast Utilities of Hartford, and Tom May, the $10 or $11 million man, became chief executive of the combined company. But since NSTAR no longer exists as its own public company, Securities and Exchange Commission rules say the company need not disclose what May earned in his last 3 months at NSTAR, including bonuses or the millions in accelerated stock awards he was expected to receive as a result of this merger.
And that's the key. You say $9 or $11 million man. He could actually be a $20 million man. We don't know. And so our question for you at 877, before we read some excerpts from some great Brian McGorry columns from the last couple of years, is 877-301-8970. The question's simple. Do you think the head of a public utility, which, by the way, is a monopoly where you have no option, do you think the head of a public utility should have to disclose his salary and benefits to the public? It's quite simple. Here's Brian McGorry in November of 2011. There are many people out there who are undoubtedly worried about how hardworking NSTAR executives will fare in the proposed merger with Northeast Utilities, targeted for completion by next year. For Thomas May, the chairman, CEO, and president of NSTAR, it means an estimated $9.3 million when the merger is finalized, according to filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and it will probably be higher as the stock price gradually rises. And Brian goes on to write, by the way, the top five NSTAR officials made a combined $21 million last year.
Jim,
and the point he makes
I don't think that's enough.
Well, I'm serious,
I don't think that's enough.
But the key thing that people have to remember is what I said before, and Brian wrote repeatedly, and you wrote about, too. You wrote a great piece about municipal electric companies. The issue is this is a public utility, number one.
Yes.
Number two, that means you have no option. You can't
go
anywhere else.
It's a monopoly.
So even if they're going to make millions and millions and millions of your dollars from your rates, shouldn't they at least disclose to the public what they're making running a public utility?
As usual, it's a total ripoff. It is a monopoly, as you're pointing out. National Grid, we're not talking about them right now.
That's a separate company. Let's stay with him.
But NSTAR, they're all monopolies. There are some municipalities in Massachusetts, 41 of them actually, that have their own. They call them Little Munis, Wellesley, Concord. You know what happens in big storms in those little towns? There's far fewer power outages, and the power is restored really faster. But you know why we can't have these little individual town municipalities?
Why would that be, Marjorie?
Because the big monopolies like NSTAR feather the nests of our legislators who vote down legislation that's been proposed for 10 years.
How many years has it been? You wrote about this. It's 41 municipal light companies.
Right.
How many years has it been since the last municipal light company was created?
I think it was like 1928.
That's true. 877-301-8970. If you're not upset about this, then you are not breathing. We have no idea how many millions Tom May makes. And by the way, you may think he's doing a fabulous job. You may say it's great that the head of a public utility where you have no alternative makes millions and millions of dollars. But you at least have to say if the word public is in the term public utility, then the public should have a right to know. And you know what's more aggravating about this? The Globe does a great job. Who wrote this story today? Erin Aylworth. I don't know if that's a man or a woman, but in any case, Erin Aylworth, a reporter, tried to get the co-chairs in the legislature of the Joint Committee on Telecommunications, mm-hmm. Utilities, and Energy. What did they say, Marjorie?
They did say nothing, because they refused to call back.
Now, what did Senator Anthony Petrocelli and State Representative Michael Costello, who chair the Joint Committee on Financial Services, say? What did they say?
Nothing.
And what did the governor, who will be with us next Thursday in studio from noon to one, by the way, what did he say?
He said nothing. Exactly. And you know why he probably said nothing?
No, I don't.
Because he was one of the people that was involved in this merger in terms of...
What do you mean involved?
Well, he had to approve it. He had to go through... It had to go through the governor. And the attorney general...
Is that so? I wasn't even aware he
had
to sign into the...
He had a role in this, and I think he feels bad about it now because we don't know what this guy is
I don't think it has anything to do with it. You know what it's about?
What?
They're afraid Tom May is going to turn their lights off. That's what the problem is. 877-301-8970. Do you feel entitled to know what Tom May made in those months that are not being disclosed?
Jim, don't forget to get the email address.
What is it, please?
It's BPR, Boston Public Radio, at WGBH.org. What did you call the snowstorm at the top of the hour?
I called it Snowmageddon. By the way, I stole
you
that.
You called it Snowmageddon.
I did.
I called it Snowpocalypse.
Yeah.
Somebody else called it Snowpalooza. Stephen just emailed, it's even worse, it's Snowquester.
That's actually
kind of cute, don't
you think? You know that I literally get apoplectic over these things. And incidentally, it is not an anti-wealthy thing. It's a right-to-know issue. It is so basic and obvious that the public – and by the way, Martha Coakley is leading the charge here. The attorney general who was with us yesterday – I wish she had brought this up, by the way – is leading the charge saying get rid of the loophole that technically allows this guy under Securities and Exchange Commission rules to not disclose his salary for the remainder of that year at NSTAR.
Here's the outrage. There are lots of dollars going into the campaign funds of our legislators on Beacon Hill who for more than 10 years now have voted against reforming the system. We could all have our own municipal light companies. The charges are about a third less. And by the way, Massachusetts has one of the highest electric rates, if not the highest, in the country. Cape Cod, where my sister lives, and her electricity goes out every time the wind blows.
That's NSTAR, by the way.
That is NSTAR. Yeah. That is NSTAR. I mean, it's ridiculous. She has to keep moving out of the house every, 6 months. Or these days, the storm of the century comes every other week, so it's every other month. But the point is, these big utilities are lining the pockets of our legislators. No one has any idea how the legislator is voting, including myself, I'm ashamed to say. So because
it's your fault.
It is my fault. Do you know how your legislator voted?
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
No, I don't think anybody does. And that's the issue. We don't pay attention to these things. So because our legislators think under the cover of darkness they can vote the way NSTAR wants instead of voting to help their constituents, this keeps going on now. Jay Kaufman from Lexington has filed this legislation for about 10 years. We could all have lower electric rates and we could all have our power restored faster, but we don't because the big utilities, which are very rich, obviously, since they pay the head guy, he's the $9 million man or the $10 million man or the $12 million man, they can spare a few millions to line the pockets of our legislators. That's why we get ripped off.
You know what I said a minute ago? I want to retract what I said before we get to the calls at 877-301-8970. I said it's really not about the amount of money. It is about transparency. I take that back. It is about the amount of money. Can you explain to me for a second, if you run a public utility where you don't even have
utility,
to worry about
monopoly.
You don't have to worry about competition, why should you make even $1 million? Or maybe, I mean, really, how hard is it to run a utility which has no competition, where you basically, every time the lights go out, you know what you say? It was the storm of the century. We had 18 storms of the century last year. We're patsies.
Here's a great line from Brian McCrory's column, who happened to lose his electricity, too.
Oh, he did. That's right.
He's the editor of the Boston Globe. The next time the lights go out from yet another storm of the century, why don't we cut the power, literally, with an oversized pair of scissors, to the homes of the governor. He didn't like the governor at this point. And NSTAR head Tom May, the $9 million or $10 million or $12 million man, and those severed lines at May and Governor Patrick's house cannot be repaired until every other household in Massachusetts has its lights back on.
Mm.
Isn't that
Megan, you are in Brookline, hometown of Marjorie Egan, and you're on Boston Public Radio with Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, thanks. I'm listening, and I'm just thinking, it's basically the recipe for any revolution is starve the people enough and, make them hungry and give, and there's no place to live, then somebody takes action and things change. But we're also, I don't want to say placated. I couldn't think of the word before either, but it's probably because we're just so comfortable.
Yeah.
And with our 2% of the, you know, nation's wealth, which is so sick. And
Megan,
and
but upsetting. Megan, we're not so comfortable. Even the people who have lost electricity in the last couple of years for endless periods of time, are they going to Beacon Hill and saying, at least I'd like to know what the head of my utility, my public utility makes?
That's
no.
The thing. We're so comfortable that we're not doing that. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
If we were less comfortable, if we were... Really, if we really needed more, then we would do something.
And well, Megan, let me make a proposal. Megan, if Marjorie is able to identify where Tom May lives, are the two of you willing to march on Tom May's house later this afternoon in the snow? She'll get back to you.
I was a teenager. I love trying to make change. Unfortunately, it just takes, you know, a couple hundred, maybe thousand people with me. One person just gets arrested.
Well, good for you.
We're trying our best, Megan. Thanks for the call.
Good for you. Want to hear another interesting statistic about Tom May, the $10 million or $12 million or $14 million man? Do you know how much he was getting for being a board of directors? This is 2 years ago at Bank of America to attend a half dozen meetings a year.
I actually do know. That's another Brian McGorry factoid. How much?
$260,000.
Why not? I mean, why shouldn't he?
Why didn't we think of this?
You know what he also got?
We could have become utility executives.
You know what he also got? You read the whole story? He got overdraft protection for free. 877-301-8970. You know what the problem with this is? I mean, you really feel like you're shouting in the wilderness, if that's the right expression. Every time this comes up, every time Brian wrote a column, every time the Globe or the Herald does a story today, is it a front page Globe story? Front page Globe story. A few people get up in arms. And you know what happens? We move on to the next thing.
You know what? Jim, this was going to be one of our big crusades.
I mean,
We were not going to drop this crusade.
I'm not giving
and,
this
and
one
what
up.
Happened?
We dropped this crusade.
We had
another crusade that got in the way.
We dropped this crusade.
I forgot.
I don't think we've ever
Lights
succeeded
went back on.
With any one of our
crusades.
I think we
may have.
Have we? I don't think so. But the point is, people don't pay attention to this. I mean, if you are losing your power all the time, and frankly, the storms of the century are going to be coming every 6 months now because of climate change. So if you looked at the map this morning on NSTAR, NSTAR has nicely put up a map of all the places that are out of power. Now, as of about an hour ago, there were a few places that were out of power. Again, it's always the same places, the South Shore, Scituate, down the Cape, Fall River, New Bedford, whole sections, whole swaths of the Cape. I don't get it. Is it because the wires have to cross the canal or whatever it is? But they lose their power all the time. Those people are furious, but it's not enough of a critical mass. And again, because the utilities can feather the nests of the legislators, unless you keep an eye on your legislator, he's going to vote the way the utilities want him to vote, or she, because they get campaign contributions.
Should we go to Westport, where Susan is on the phone? Boston Public Radio, the number is 877-301-8970. Hello, Susan.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Susan. I'm calling from Westport, and I'm outraged and ready to march on Tom May's house.
Love that. Now, the only problem is we don't know where he lives.
Yeah.
Sure, other than that, we are ready for action. Now, Susan, what do you think? You're aberrational, or do you think your neighbors, for example, in Westport, feel the same way you do?
It's outrageous that he makes that much money. Yes, and we're getting lousy service. We were 4 days with no power in the last storm of the century.
Exactly.
The last storm of the century.
How many, Susan, have there been this century? Have there been four or five storms of the century? We're only in 2013. How can they keep being storms of the century?
I'm losing count.
Yeah.
Well, Susan, as soon as Marjorie gets an address and it sets a time, she'll be in touch with you. Susan, thank you for support. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your show.
Thank you, Susan.
Who's going to lead the charge, Jim?
What?
Are you going to be at the head of the march?
What time are you planning on doing this?
You have a sandwich board.
I have a lot of responsibilities.
You know what else they have? And this is another interesting little bit. By the way, Forbes magazine. Now, this is a couple of years ago, so it may have changed somewhat. But a couple of years ago, Forbes magazine listed Tom May's salary as the fifth highest out of 25 around the country. And again, we have the highest electrical charges here. I mean, it's just kind of crazy. And the Cape is the highest of all. It's just sort of nuts. But they have this retention program so that if you are, let go for any kind of cause, you get these massive golden parachutes, as they say, correct?
Why shouldn't they? Bill in West Roxbury, you're on with Jim and Marjorie on Boston Public Radio. We're enraged, Bill. Hello there, Bill.
Jim and Marjorie, you're a little bit late coming to the party.
We are?
You sure.
Why? What did we miss?
Well, I'm an employee of National Grid, and T-SPAN sold out to National Grid, mm-hmm. I think it was 4 years ago now.
Yeah.
And the CEO went out the door with $88 million.
Wait, that so, was that. Wait, wait, wait. Where, that was their severance package.
Where were you guys then reporting that story?
Bill, who the CEO of which company, please?
It went from Boston Gas to T-SPAN to National Grid.
But you don't mean, by the way, for whatever it's worth, you're not talking about Marcy Reed, who's the local National Grid.
No, I'm not talking about Marcy Reed. I'm talking about
the big one.
His name was Robert Cattell. And he was from Brooklyn, New York.
Well, can I tell you, Bill, I don't want to fight with you, Bill.
Say, I didn't know.
I think we did know about it. And I actually think we did on the radio, and you just have a short memory. But let me just say, in defense of the National Grid guy, the $88 million, he's got a family to feed, Bill. I mean, no, I'm serious. I mean, you got to be a little fair. He's got to do something. Bill, thank you for the info, and thanks for. I'm pretty sure we were on that at the time.
Well, you know what the other angle is on this whole thing?
No.
Is that one of the reasons that the power keeps going out, as many people have pointed out, is because these big utilities have cut the staff that used to go out and cut the trees. And the trees get filled with ice, and the trees break, and then the wires come down.
Well, they did, in all fairness, in the last set of storms, they've done a little bit better
job pruning the trees. They're not pruning enough, if you ask me, Jim.
Instantly, make a suggestion. The one elected official who appears to be totally on the case here is the woman who was with us yesterday, the Attorney General Martha Coakley. Call her office and tell her, you know, go, Martha. We are on your side. Encourage her to keep up this fight so that at minimum, even if the salary is not reduced, at least we know what this guy and his colleagues are making.
What is it, Jim? The Snowpalooza?
Snowmageddon.
Snowpocalypse.
Exactly.
Or the Snowquester. Okay, we have all the highest technology for diagnosis in the world, but a simple checklist for people over 50 could predict how much longer you're going to live. Do you want to know? That story's up next on 89.7 WGBH Boston Public Radio.